Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. And it's not a long sharing, but it's something that I think, again, is encouraging, meant to be encouragement, and just draw our hearts together in our faith in the wonder of Jesus. And once again, when I am finished sharing, you guys can continue, because, you know, hey, we can flow with Jesus. I just may have to mute my mic, so praise God. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. And as usual with the prophets, I've noticed that a lot of times all the books I read and so many places where I hear the prophets quoted, the context around that famous scripture or quote from one of the prophets is not known, like literally historically what was happening in regards to when that prophetic word was given of God. And and yet the Holy Spirit has been so precious to kind of ask me, hey, look at the context, and you know, what's going on there. And in doing that, just you know, speak to my heart more clearly with what that verse is trying to say. It makes the verse so much more, like the Holy Spirit can show Jesus so much deeper in it. And the scriptures that we're going to look at in Isaiah chapter 7 are some of those real famous ones that everybody knows. But it's the context before it that I think will really bring us just some strong edification and just bless our faith in Christ. So let's just read, and it's starting in verse 1 in here in Isaiah chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, who is the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, the king of Judah. So Ahaz is the king of Judah. That Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. So we have the king of Syria, Rezin, and we have the king of Israel, Pekah, joining together to war against Jerusalem. That is insane, that the people of God would join with a foreign nation to try to destroy Jerusalem. So verse 2, and it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate, it's joined with Ephraim. And David's heart was moved, and the heart of his people were moved, moved like the trees of the forest are moved with the wind. This news hit them so deep, it just blew through their heart, like, how could our own people join with the enemy to attack Jerusalem? It just deeply affected David's heart and the people of David's heart. And then verse 3, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, who was the prophet at that time, go forth now and meet Ahaz. Ahaz is the king of Judah. Meet with Ahaz, you and Shirajashub, your son. This is Isaiah's son, whose name means a remnant shall return. So Isaiah takes his son, whose name means a remnant shall return, and they're going to meet the king of Judah, whose name is Ahaz, and meet him at the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say to Ahaz, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and for the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah. Let's vex them. Let's conquer them for ourselves. And let us set our own king in the midst of them, even the son of Tabeel. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, because the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim shall be broken, that it shall not even be a people, because the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Okay, so we'll pause there. And God is telling the king of Judah through Isaiah the prophet that even though Ephraim has joined with the enemy and they are fierce and this looks terrible and they're trying to attack you and tear you down, Jerusalem itself, where God's habitation is, representing his wife, you know, his heart, the place of the Lord himself. He said, don't worry. But the basis upon which he says, don't worry, has to do with whose head these people are. And he doesn't, you know, really, he's not basing it on because they're evil, because they're coming against me and I, vengeance is mine. You know, he's basing it on who their head is. And, you know, so he goes through and he says, it's not going to, in verse 7, it's not going to stand and it's not going to come to pass with this reason, verse 8. Because Syria's head is Damascus. And the head of Damascus is Rezin. And these are, you know, heathen and idols and not the true and living God. Within 65 years, even Ephraim shall be broken and not a people on the same basis. Ephraim, which is God's people, they will be broken and not a people on the basis of verse 9. Because the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son, not God's son. So the head of Ephraim, which is the part of the northern tribes, is not the Son of God, not the Lamb, not Jesus, the firstborn and the head of his body. But it's Remaliah's son, you know, a deity of a heathen nation that they have in, they have uplifted as their head. And he said, so they will be broken. And if you don't believe, you shall not be established. So then verse 10. So the Lord's, you know, he's telling the king of Judah, you shouldn't be afraid of the attack that's coming against you, Jerusalem. And Judah were the three tribes that physically had Jerusalem was within their territory. Jerusalem was part of Judah. And he says, y'all don't need to be afraid of this attack because you are joined, the true head, the Son of God, the presence of God, the one true and living God is in your midst. He's in you and he's your head. You know, Jerusalem is the head of Judah. And in Jerusalem dwells the presence of God, who is his son is there, you know, dwelling within them. Holy of holies. And no matter what attacks come against you, you have no need to fear because in a true and living way, you are joined to the one in whom the Father's fullness and pleasure dwells. And even if they destroy you, you are not destroyed, for he is eternal, and he is your head, and he is your life. But Ephraim is left and joined to Ramaliah's son, and joined in confederate, made union, you know, with Syria. And they've come against to attack Jerusalem itself. This will not stand on the basis of they have no life. They are not part of the one true and living God. And yes, they may attack, but they will not take down what is joined to God in oneness through the Son. They cannot take that down, even if they crucify the body, persecute the soul. You know, this will stand. Be not afraid, based on oneness. And he continues then in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord speaks again unto Ahaz. So he's already talked to him about oneness and headship and union and the wonder and peace, security, found in that true and living union. But he continues now with a prophecy. Verse 10, moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, the king of Judah, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the heights above. And verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I test the Lord. And verse 13, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God, my God also? And so he's kind of saying, listen, the Lord is wanting you to ask. I'm encouraging you to ask because God wants you to ask. And, you know, maybe Ahaz is trying to be false humility, or I don't know. I'm not sure why, but it's a wearisome thing to God that he's just saying, I don't need this word. I don't want to test you, Lord. Lord's like, you're not testing me. This is what I want to tell you. So verse 14. So God says, I want to tell you this word. This is in my heart. I want to share this with you now. And so he shares it in verse 14. And these are the words that we're all familiar with from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken by both her kings. So here he is answering not just in the realm of allegiance and headship, which is tremendous, and union and flow cometh beyond all earth situations. But then he says, I want to say more to you, Ahaz, house of David, place where my son dwells. There's more that I want to share with you, even beyond that he is the head, but that he is also the fullness of the body. And that I will give you this sign against your enemies. I will give you this sign against that which wars against my son in you. I will give you this sign against that which is not joined to him but comes to attack him, whether it be in someone else or in yourself. And this is the sign I have, a sign from the Lord himself. And I will give this to you. I will give you this sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name is God is with us. So he goes even deeper into the provision he has against the enemy, against attack from without and within, from Syria and Ephraim. And he says, my son will be born in you. I will cause a virgin to conceive and bring him forth, and his name will be God is with you. You're gonna bring him forth. He's gonna be more than just the top leader that you're joined to, or the head in which all the fullness is, but that fullness is going to fill you to the point where you will conceive and bring forth his nature. You'll bring forth the Son. Not only will he defeat your enemies through his death that conquered all on the cross, all principality, all power, all enemies, but he's going to conquer them from within you as your nature. Yes, the head did the finished work and he settled it. His death has completely defeated every attack, every foe, everything that would come against our union with Christ. But down here on earth where we dwell, and these things still fix on us, fix our minds upon us, persecute our souls, rise in our attitudes and reactions and ways with people, with others. But he said, but my son is also going to conquer within you as your life. You will conceive and you will bring him forth, and he will take down that which tries to destroy the Jerusalem in you. He will take down those attitudes that try to come against Christ in you, that war in your members. You know, there is war in my members, Romans chapter 7 says. He's going to take down those things in you that war against Jesus in you, that war against Jerusalem in you. The things in your soul that war against Christ in your spirit, he's also going to conquer them through his son, but not just as head, but as life. You will conceive and you will bring forth, and even these foes in your walk, in your daily walk, that come against the Jerusalem in your heart where the Lamb of God dwells, I will defeat them by my son, as your head and as your life. I will cover you and I will fill you. I will conquer for you and I will conquer within you. All your victory is found in union with Christ, both as head and as life, both in him and him in you. And there's nothing that can come against you when you are covered, when you are filled, and when it is not I, but Christ, the Son of God. Not the son of Ramaliah, the son of God. This is where my pleasure dwells. This is where all victory is accomplished in him. And how encouraging is that when we are the Ephraim who's confederate with Syria and attacking the Lamb in us by these attitudes we just can't get over. We just can't get over it. We want to, but we keep falling into that pit of selfishness or jealousy or fear or wrath or, you know, all the things that Paul mentions and beyond of the flesh. We just cannot overcome these evil alliances that happen in our heart and our soul. And yet, and we know that we're in Christ, and we know that the cross happened, and we know that it's real, and we know that it's finished. But yet we walk down here and we're attacking our brothers and sisters, and we're attacking the Jerusalem in our heart where Christ is in our spirit. We attack him inside with our own soul. And we say, Lord, I can't get better. I don't want to be more religious. I don't have the ability to deal with these enemies. And he says, fear not. He's your head, but he's also your life. And he will have the victory if you just allow him. Conceive and bring forth. And understand even before then, verses 1 through 8 in chapter 7, that he's the head. And because he's your head, his fullness will flow into you. You will conceive, and he will fill you, and he will overcome every enemy. He will overcome every enemy because he's your life. And wow, how encouraging is that? How encouraging. The Father said, I'm not testing you, Ahaz. I want to tell you the full gamut of the provision I have given you in my Son. I have given you my Son as head and fullness, as life, as victory on every front. You are encompassed and filled. You are encompassed and filled. I have so deeply given you my Son. He is your everything. Like we were reading in Colossians, to them, he is the beginning of everything. He is everything. He's our victory. He's our fullness. He's our head. He's our only hope. He's our hope of glory. He's our only victory, both in the finished work and the work he does in us by his life. Through him and him alone, we overcome every enemy, both within us and without us. And without him, we can do nothing. Oh, how blessed we are that the Father has given us his Son in this way. We are never alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with us. He's in us. We're in him. We're with him. What can man do unto me? What can I do that the Lord himself cannot overcome by life? Through death, through his death. It is time. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder, for the awe, for the glory, for the beauty of your heart to give and to give and to provide Jesus. And that to us, he is everything. He's everything. It's the beginning, he's the end, he's the head, and he's the fullness. And without him, we are doomed. We are desperate. We are overcome. We do have no hope, but we are not hopeless. We are not overcome because we have him. We have him completely, because you gave him completely. So we give you all the glory, all the thanks. And we tell you we love you, and we want to continue to know him in these ways, that he might really live through us and bring you glory and bring others life and truly love, that he might just be himself in us. And so Lord, we thank you. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.